This morning's scripture reading comes from the last several verses of the book of Ephesians. We're finishing up Ephesians. Chapter 6, 21 through 24. That's page 872. Or right after Ephesians 5 in your phones, if you'd like to scroll through that. Ephesians chapter 6, 21 through 24. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, what is your favorite rescue movie? What's your favorite? Is it Toy Story 2? Is it when they rescue Woody from being sent to Japan? Apollo 13? Anybody? Star Wars, A New Hope. Rescuing Leia because Obi-Wan is our only... Okay. Die Hard. Those are always great Christmas movies, right? Or Saving Private Ryan. Which... Do you like rescue movies? Do you like when someone is captured or somehow taken helpless? There's no way they're going to get out on their own. But then the hero comes, however competent or incompetent they seem, and by the end of the... And you know how it's going to end. And if you're nervous, it's just because you just haven't watched enough rescue movies. But you know it's going to end with freedom. Well, Ephesians has been God's story. And God's story is a rescue story. It's a rescue story. There is drama. It's us. We're the ones who are captured and that we have no hope apart from someone coming to save us. But we do have someone coming to save us. And as we've gone through Ephesians this last fall, we see that God does a lot of things in his story. I mean, we read about him raising Christ from the dead. Well, that's pretty impressive. That should secure a rescue. He seats Christ in the highest of the heavens. He puts all things under Christ's feet. He makes Christ the head of the church. And so Christ is a big part of God's story. But that's God's story. Good news is that God's story includes us. God's story includes us. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, God's story includes you. Okay, now the other side. God's story, it includes us. It didn't have to. I mean, again, as we just sang, we have a maker. God, when he created us, could have said, that's the end of it, I'm going to just interact. Oh, Adam, you sinned. Sorry, that's it. Chalas, it's done. No more, I'm done with you. God could have said that. But then it wouldn't be a rescue story. And God apparently likes rescue stories, maybe more than we do. Well, what does God do in his story? In Christ, because Christ is a big part of it, includes us in that he blesses us in Christ. He chooses us in Christ. He predestines us through Christ. He bestows grace on us in the beloved. That's Bible code for Christ. He redeems us in Christ. He forgives us in Christ. He lavishes grace on us in Christ. He makes known the mystery of his will in Christ, and he marks us with the Spirit in Christ. Now, we're not going to move off this slide for a while. Can we read this together? We'll go from left to right. Blesses us in Christ, chooses us in Christ, predestines us through Christ, bestows grace on us in the Beloved, redeems us in Christ, forgives us in Christ, lavishes grace on us in Christ, makes known the mystery of His will in Christ, marks us with the Spirit in Christ. This is the riches of our salvation. Ephesians 1:3 said He blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I don't know what you got for Christmas, but in Christ, all of this is ours in Christ. We are unbelievably rich. But we still experience captivity. We still experience feeling trapped. So He tells us more. What God does for us with Christ. Now, that I'm emphasizing this because there's certain language that Paul's using to try to emphasize that God's story is about Christ, but because God's story includes us, we're with Christ. And the language actually is like that. So He makes us alive together with Christ. He raises us together with Christ. Do you know that in God's eyes, you're not just seated in the sanctuary at 430 South First Street? You're actually on the throne in Jesus' lap, so to speak, in Christ. And He's holding on to us. It's with Christ. He seats us together with Him. And we're citizens together in Christ. We're being built together into the body of Christ, into the household of faith. We're joined together, everybody needing each other. We're heirs together. And Christ has died already. He's risen from the dead. So we have our inheritance now. We're members, again, of the body of Christ together. We're sharers of His grace and mercy and His gifts together. We're joined together. Again, He says it twice. And we're held together in Christ. See, we're included in God's story, in Christ. And He knows your name. And so the question is, are you going to participate in His story? All this preaching that we've done, all the reading you've done in Ephesians, really will only be knowledge unless we say, I want in, I want to participate, I want to experience all that God, when He comes to rescue me, I don't tell Him to wait. I don't say, oh, wait, hold on just a second. No, I'm all in. See, He has a place for you in His story. And it's in His story. Tychicus. It's a funny name. But do you know it's the only name mentioned in Ephesians? It's the only one. Tychicus, the dear brother or the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord. Tychicus will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. See, just like Tychicus had a spot in the ministry of Paul, each one of you has a spot. You have a place in God's story. Each one of you, if you've trusted in Christ, if you've been rescued from your sin, you're now a part of the story, but you're not just sort of going along on the rescue, you're now a part of the whole story. See, we have an in Christ or in the Lord identity. The dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord. Do you see yourself like that? You know your name. And so my name is Harutunyan. And so I'm part of the Harutunyan story. And then if we sneak back, I get to be a part into the Papazian story from my mom's side. And so I know my name. I know where I belong. I know that that's part of my story. And now my children have the Harutunyan and Tumbarian elements in their story. And going forward, who knows what's coming? God does. But that's only part of our identity. As great as it is to be a Harutunyan, and I love being Vahak and Liz's son, I love it. That's only a small part. Because if I only was Vahak and Liz's son, I would still be trapped. I'd still be trapped in what chapter 2 called my transgressions and sins, dead. I'd be trapped following the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. I'd be trapped just trying to gratify the cravings of my sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, I would simply be objects of wrath. But see, in Christ, I'm a child of the living God. We're not just servants of the great and awesome God. We're his children in Christ. Do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself as accepted? And you hear me say this all the time, just as you are, not as you should be. Do you see yourself in Christ? This last year, you and I have made so many mistakes. Not only mistakes, we've sinned intentionally over this last year. And here we are, December 31st. If this is who I am, if it's just the mistakes I've made, the pain I've caused other people, if that's who I am, there's not a lot of hope going forward, because you know what? Guess who's going forward in 2018? Me. And if it's just me, oh, good luck, right? But it's not just me. Christ in me. Christ in you. We are in Christ. See, Tychicus makes this letter, and he's called a dear brother and faithful servant because he's in the Lord. Don't leave 2017 without taking hold of who you are as recorded in Ephesians. All those things that we said were in Christ, with Christ, those are yours. Don't let go of them. But there's more. You have an in Christ identity, and you have in Christ relationships. See, he's a brother. He's the Apostle Paul's brother. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters, and I do love my brothers and sisters, but there have been times that those who have meant the most to me have been outside my birth family. I'll never forget those who were with me in college who would walk with me. My parents were hours away. My family members were hours away from me. They couldn't be there. But in Christ, my roommates, those who are involved in fellowship with me, those who would go to church with me, some of you know this. You are in Fresno, but you've got some of the most important people in your life far away. But it's this fellowship, it's your close friends in Christ who keep you together. See, God is very good. He didn't just save us to get us to heaven. I remember I had this all wrong when I first came to Christ. My Sunday school teacher was telling me, you know, about the importance of going to church, and I said, "Oh no, Miss Tucson, you don't understand. Jesus saved me, and now it's me and Jesus. And that's all. Jesus is all I need." And she was very gentle, and she just nodded her head and said, "Oh, Greg, I hope you learn soon that God doesn't mean for you to just walk by yourself with him. He's provided the body of Christ." And I imagine, if we were so inclined, many of us could come up here, take the mic, and say, "This year was one of the biggest mistakes I made, was trying to walk alone with Jesus. And the times where I made it through this year better was when I let someone else help carry me." See, God has given us in Christ relationships with each other, brothers, as he says, brothers and sisters, who are designed to walk with us. It's not just us and Jesus. I know, again, I'm going to go back to my college time and when it was, people were a little less safe in what they did. And at football games, we'd see people get carried from the bottom of the stands up to the top. You remember that? Anybody remember that? No, we probably couldn't do that. It's not safe. But it sure was a lot of fun. And you could be carried up the stands. And I remember at one point just being really frustrated and angry over something, really wondering whether God had forgotten about me or not, or really did know my name. And one of my friends, Brian, looked at me and said, "Greg, how about you let us carry you right now? How about you you just rest. We'll carry you. Let us just take care of what you need. And you know what? Don't pray for us right now, okay? How about we handle the praying?" And remember last week we talked about the shield of faith? How frequently we don't have faith to resist the arrows that are coming at us from the evil one. And I said that other people's faith can be the thing that protects us. And I'm absolutely convinced that that is the truth, that we don't have to walk alone, and other people can come in with their faith when we're losing hope, and we make it through. And again, we could probably come up here and take the mic, and some of you could say, "You know what? This year I lost hope. I actually lost my faith, and I stopped praying. But my life didn't fall apart. And at first I was confused because I thought, oh, see, it doesn't matter if I pray. What I worried about didn't happen anyway, so why pray?" But then other people kept coming up to me and saying that they were praying for me. See, your faith on behalf of someone else may be what keeps them safe. Your faith on behalf of someone else may be the avenue through which God continues to pour his blessings. I mean, boy, I could tell you my stories, but this isn't about me. We have in Christ relationships. We also have purpose in Christ. We have calling in Christ. Tychicus was going to take this letter. He also takes the letter to the Colossians, to them. I mean, imagine this job. He gets to take the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus and to the church of Colossae, and he's the one who takes them, and he's going to be the one who explains to them what Paul's up to, how he's doing. See, Paul's imprisoned, and they're worried about him, but here comes Tychicus. He's got this purpose that he's supposed to encourage them. Do you remember what Ephesians 2:10 said? "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Every one of us in Christ has a calling. Every one of us in Christ has a purpose or purposes. And it's not just about us, it's about other people. God communicating His grace, His love, His blessings, His ministry through us, through our good works for others. Again, I was wrong. It's not just about me and God. It's not enough that I receive God's blessings. I need to be a part of Him getting it out to others. For His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, we're in Christ, and so that means our lives aren't just about us anymore. I am sending Him to you for this very purpose. To whom is God sending you with a purpose? If we pass the mic, could you identify how you were a part of His plans in 2017? Through you, to whom does God desire to love? Whose love, who's going to experience God's love through you? He has a calling for you. You're a part of the body of Christ. You've been given gifts. Who are the people? Who's been that vehicle to you? Would you thank them? Instead of just wishing them a happy new year, go ahead and say thank you for the specific way God has used them in your life this year. Say thank you, and then say happy new year. Let them know, because they may not even be aware that God had used them in your life. See, you have a place in God's story, and since we're in this together, let's pray for each other. Let's pray for each other. Ephesians has two of the best prayers you could possibly ever pray. One, chapter 1, 15 to 23, and then 3, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. If you're not inclined to memorize Scripture, maybe incline yourself and include these two prayers into what you will memorize for 2018. I'm going to read it to you, chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 15. I've just got some of the highlights there. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. See, that's the purpose. God wants to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Again, here's the purpose. In order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, that you may know the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, that's us, and you may know His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. What would this be like? Can you imagine someone praying this for you? That God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Can you imagine knowing God better because someone is praying for you? Because we're praying for each other, we're comprehending, we're grasping the hope, the riches, His incomparably great power. What kind of year would 2018 be if God answers just this prayer on behalf of each other? It's in your Bibles. It's on your phones. Use it for each other. Okay, here's chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Again, you get the highlights up there. I'll read the whole thing. For this reason, Paul writes, I kneel before the Father from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. If God were to answer this prayer, how would your life be different? Actually, let's reverse it. What if no one prays this for you? What if you miss out on all of this? What would your life be like in this coming year if you did not experience the power of God through his Spirit in the inner being? If you were not rooted and established in love? If you did not grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is? What happens to you? What happens to those around you? What happens to your families if this doesn't happen in your life? See, this is God's desire for each one of his children. For everyone who is in his story, these are his desires. But see, this is a rescue story in which we participate. So my question to you is, will you take the truths of Ephesians, even a couple of them, take them to be a part of your life so that we can begin to experience the glories of God's story? Because God's story includes us, and there's a place for you. Your name may not be Tychicus, but he knows your name, and you have a place. Amen.